Amen. As you give, let me pray for the message. Father, I thank you, Lord, for each and every person, God, as they give and they plant their seeds. And I thank you, God, as we open up your word today, take a look at what you're saying to us. God, fill our hearts with your truth. God, give us guidance. Give us strategy, Father, for the life that you've given us to live. Father, you know exactly where we are on our journey. God, speak to us in ways that we can apply to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Look at somebody and say, God bless you.
God bless you.
All right. We just got back from taking a trip to Legoland with our family. And so while we were driving, we had a couple of really great devotional moments. And I thought I'd bring some of that and bring the family up here and talk about building space for God in your life, building space for God in your family, building space for God in your marriage. It's this concept that we really have to build something. You know, we have an opportunity to build all kinds of things in our life, but what really is worth building? So it's not a series, but it's just something I felt that was important for all of our families and those that will be building families soon. We did leave Ariella out because her portion, her contribution for the devotion was a lot of shouting and banging around with toys and stuff like that. So maybe next time we'll bring her up. But we have Christian and we have Esperanza. And we have a bunch of Legos because we're building space for God. With our families, it's important for us to do that, for us to build space. No matter how hectic it is, how busy life gets, there's some things that the Holy Spirit will show and how to get creative and build space and keep space for God in your family. And I know that with any family, it can get hectic. It can get chaotic at times. It can get busy at times. But even more so when it gets busy, we have to build that time. We have to build that space for God in the home.
Absolutely. And if, you know, God spoke to us about 2021 being undefeated. This is our year. And I don't think it's just limited to this year, but it's really a revelation of living the undefeated life. And in order for us to really walk in that, we have to keep God the center. And, you know, we talking about living in this age of being so busy, I was remembering being a kid and cell phones not really being a thing in the home, you know, even computers, that didn't come till a little bit later. I feel like we're showing our age, but it was a very peaceful time, you know. You'd come back from school and you'd play and you'd just play and do other things until it was time to turn it in. But, you know, we live in a very busy time. And even as we, you know, grew up and have our family now, and now we've got the wonderful Esperanza Christian and Ariella, we've always been a family of structure, and we love routine. We love our schedule, And so it was something that we were able to maintain, especially with the first two. I feel like I had a good hold on it. And then came little Ariella, and she rocked our world. And you know what's funny is somebody told us, they said, you know, after you have two, once you have two, you know how to do more than one. So you kind of, it's all the same after that.
That was a lie. We're looking for that person, and we want them to repent of that lie.
I was like, man.
Because three is different.
This is different. But, you know, in the middle of that, of not having such a structure the way I had it before and things with predictability, because, you know, when you have a little demanding baby and two older ones, it's just, it can be a lot. And so I used to have this, like, very
rigid
schedule routine leading into the night where I would have our devotion and we'd just sit down and everybody was so peaceful and we have our reading time and then we'd pray and then we'd go to sleep. And so it doesn't look like that anymore, but I still find times to do it. And the reason I'm sharing that is because, you know, times change, our lives change, the different components of our life changes, but can we be flexible? I think that's really the key is learning how to make space in the busy, make space when you're running around all over the place, or even, you know, even I remember going to school. Now I homeschool them, but when we used to go to school, I would commute about 30 minutes every morning. And then in the afternoon, so it was like a full hour. So on the way down, I'd go down with them, and I'd have my scriptures going and also worship. And some days they would ask, you know, questions about whatever scripture they just heard. Other days they would ask for more of the worship, you know. And I was, you know, I just went with the flow on that because I want them to be hungry for those things, you know. And it was a time that I made sure I was like, you know what, since we're going down, let's start our day strong. And I would sometimes ask them things like, you know, you pray or you pray, you know. And so I think it's important. Make the most. Don't just be so busy that you forget to make those moments count. So now we don't have those commutes anymore, but we sit down at the table because we really try to make that a priority. Like, let's sit down for dinner and let's put our devices up and let's be together. Let's talk about the things that God will ask them. Hey, why are you laughing? We try. I didn't say we do it every time, but I, you know, we do try to do that. And we ask them, we say, hey, what are you thankful for? You know, and we'll discuss the things of God because, you know, it's so easy to talk about all kinds of other things, but you have to be very intentional.
You know, life is like Legos, you know, and even when your routine gets broken, her eyes just got really big.
Put it back
no,
together.
I'm not going to break your thing, little master builder. Even when your things get broken, you can build something new. God gives us the creativity to build something new. Your routine gets messed up. You know, because of life event, or you got another kid, or you got a different job, and stuff gets all out of whack. We can have the creativity of the Holy Spirit to build something new, build a new space for God that works for us in a new season, you know. But I find a lot of times when we don't build space for God in our lives, one of the first things to go is peace. We lose the peace in our life, and then we lose kindness, and we find ourselves a little less showing love. This is what it says about peace. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you."
Yes.
So if we build a space for God that's forefront in our life, we're going to have the peace that we need in our home. They're going to have the peace that we need in our marriage. We're going to have the peace that we need with our kids. If we have built that space for God, it's going to keep us in that perfect place of peace.
And I think, to be real, you know, we can tell when stuff is getting out of balance for us because, you know, we'll start to be short with each other. And then we had an experience where I won't say who, I'm just kidding, was having a rough day, and it was starting to change the atmosphere of the home to the point where, like, he was feeling tense, then they started feeling tense, and the next thing we hear them arguing in the next room, but like really strongly. And so, you know, I know it's funny, but it we're just being honest about it. Like, we caught ourselves in that moment. We're like, man, we need to shift the atmosphere back. We need to get the peace in the home because it's important. Yeah. It will change the atmosphere. It'll change the chemistry of what's going on.
And it can happen. It can happen quick. doing remote learning or doing homeschooling, yes. And all the parents said amen. It can get tense, but
right.
We are supposed to set the thermostat for the home. So
right.
When you get there, you got to check yourself and say, hey, let me build this space. Let me make sure that I've got the peace where it needs to be. Because kids follow suit.
As soon
as you start getting snappy, then they'll go in the other room and start getting snappy with each other. And so, you know, the more complicated life gets, the more we have to have the creativity of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
You know, amen. So you get a new job, you start a new family, or you get married, or, you know, it's a new life event. You need to use the creativity of the Holy Spirit to build that space for God, you know, to have that work-life-God balance in your life. You got to be creative,
yes.
You know. So I find that's, you know, really just being intentional.
It is. I think every moment that can be a teachable moment, you should really capitalize on that. Whenever we go places or the kids see something, because, I mean, the truth is you don't have to go very far for kids to be exposed to a lot these days. So we can be out, and one of the things that Christian will sometimes tap me on the shoulder and be like, Mommy, is that an inappropriate outfit? And I'll say, yes, it's inappropriate. And then he'll, which I've taught him what is appropriate dress, what is not appropriate dress, you know, but he can recognize it. And then he would ask, like, why is that person dressed that way? And so I take the moment to teach him. I was like, well, this is where this person is. Our job is not to be judgmental on them, but to pray for them and be available. If somebody opens up that conversation, then we can show them what God's word says about it. But it's good for you to be able to know and identify it. You know, but we have to be available as parents. And this isn't just limited to parents. I think the body of Christ is a community of spiritual mentors and leadership that we should be able to help teach in any moment. Like if somebody sees something and they're questioning, you know, to be available and make that moment a moment where you can really show something. If they go through something in school, you tell them, well, little Sally hurt my feelings, you know, or did this. Why did she do that? You know, I remember there was a little boy that was kind of acting up in Christian's class a couple years ago. And so we talked about that and what that little boy was going through and how he can be the light instead of being shut off and being upset and avoiding him, like still being kind and not letting. So take everything that they face and turn it into a spiritual principle by using the word to teach them.
In our family, it's our job to show how God fits into the big challenges and the small challenges.
Right.
A lot of times as adults, we look at kids and we say, oh, your challenges aren't really that big. But to them, they're huge. And so how does God fit into all different sizes of problems, challenges? It's our job to say, how is the Word of God? How is God applicable to every different scenario? So, you know, I think about how we have to prioritize the God space. If we don't prioritize God, then, you know, it's difficult to build something beautiful in your family. But if you do prioritize, it actually makes it easier. This is what Jesus said in Matthew 22, 37, and 38. He said, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. If we can get this, that we need to love the Lord with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, then guess what? We will find a way creatively to build that space for God in our lives. If God isn't our priority, then it's going to be very difficult to build that God space. But if He is our priority and we're already loving Him with our mind and our heart and our spirit, then it's going to be easier to begin to build and put these things together. So
yes,
it's that prioritizing of God in our lives. Now, Esperanza, I'm going to ask you a question. Are you ready? Do you have your microphone? What is the difference between a busy schedule and a blessed schedule?
The difference between a busy schedule and a blessed schedule is that a busy schedule can get stressful and it's just a lot to manage. And a blessed schedule is busy because God is opening doors and giving you opportunities for new things like new jobs, new cars, and stuff like that.
All right, I like where your thought process. New cars, plural. But that's the truth. When just because we're blessed doesn't mean we're going to be busy. We're not going to be busy. It's very easy to be busy. And a lot of times, just because God bless you isn't going to make you less busy, but His grace is going to be on you. His peace is going to be on you. When you're seeking Him first and you've prioritized Him, you've built space for Him in your life, guess what He's going to give you? He's going to give you the strategy for how to juggle everything in your life. He's going to give you the peace. He's
yes.
going to take the stress away. He's going to enable you to deal with the anxiety in your life. When we haven't built space for God in our lives, guess what? We have to juggle it all on our own.
Yeah.
We have to figure it out all on our own. We have to deal with the stress all on our own. But when we build space for Him, we can actually cast our cares on Him. And He begins to help us. Now, Esperanza, talk to the kids today, all right? You do school full time. You help out with your baby sister. Your baby sister has just recently moved into your room. And so you're helping put her to sleep at night. And
she does an awesome job.
She's awesome. She's awesome. You do your favorite after school program. You play video games with your brother. How do you still make time for God in your life?
I try to pray every, like, when I'm going to sleep, and I just try to find any moment in the day that I can to just take time, thank him, pray, and talk to him about what happened in my day. And it's just important to always make time for him, because the devil oftentimes tries to tell you that you don't have time. But it's a lie, because you do have time.
And she prays a lot. She prays a lot. Like, I catch her sometimes, and I love it. It makes me so proud. But we were actually on our way down.
Back.
We were on our way back, yeah. And I looked through the mirror, and she didn't know I had seen her. And I told her, I didn't tell her in the moment, but later on, I was like, man, I saw you praying. She's like, but she was praying. She had closed her eyes, and I could see her. And then even him, like, sometimes at night, like, I catch him, he'll be like, maybe he's like, I'm praying for my thoughts. So, I mean, it's beautiful to see them do that. And look, I want to make sure nobody is, like, getting the idea that we're here bragging about our kids or anything like that. I just want it to, I want for people to understand, like, we're real people. We're a real family. We're not perfect. We strive to be like Christ. And it can, like, we can do this because he's equipped us to do it.
Amen. When you make space for God and you start getting scripture into your kids, what Esperanza just explained was her version of pray without ceasing.
Yes, yes.
The Apostle Paul instructs us, hey, have a strong prayer life, pray without ceasing. Well, that was her interpretation. That's her revelation on it, is I'm going to pray at night, and then I'm going to have all these micro conversations with God throughout the day.
Right.
I'm going to have conversations where I tell him that I'm thankful. I'm going to tell him, you know, at other times, the different needs that I have. And so, you know, just developing that God space, you'll be amazed when you create a God space, what a child and what you even will come up with, what will happen creatively in your spirit. And so, Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. So important with our lives. We can get stressed out. We can get burdened down. And the same Jesus 2,000 years ago that said, come to me, all those that are weighed down, burdened by life, and I'm going to give you rest. If we build space for Jesus in our lives, he's going to be saying to us every day, come to me. If you've got heavy burdens, I'm going to give you rest. I'm going to give you the relief that you need from the stress, from the anxiety of life.
I love that scripture because I think it applies to everybody. You know, it's not a specific, it's not just the lost. It's not a specific age group. It's everybody. And I think sometimes we can get caught up in whatever's happening in the moment and forget, you know, like, I need to go lay my burdens down. You know, I think adults sometimes forget to do that. You know, they just try to find a natural solution. Well, this is what I need to move around. Maybe I need to do my schedule different. Maybe I need to do this or that. But I'll be honest, like when we started, we had prayed about starting homeschool last year with everything that was happening. And it was a big decision and I didn't want to make it just, you know, like in the natural. So we had prayed about it and we came to the conclusion that we were going to homeschool. So I'd been doing that. And there were some days that I was like, Lord, help me. Lord, have mercy, because I don't know, you know. And I had to really take it to prayer and remind myself, like, God, you led me to this decision. And this is something that if you led me to this decision, then you've equipped me to handle it and do it. So, you know, I think just with anything, like whenever we face anything in line with our responsibilities, our daily living, always go to God first. And that's something I tell them too. I've taught them. I said, look, before you come to mommy and daddy, we're always available. So it's not that we're not available, but your first and foremost provision for anything that you need is God. Always pray to him. If you're having trouble with school, with your tests or a subject, you know, pray. If you're not feeling good, pray. And sometimes they'll come to me and it's been resolved already because they have prayed and they have that relationship. So if you have little ones, make sure that you teach them that early. If you're a grandparent and you have little ones, teach them that early, because it's so great to see them begin to grow in it.
Amen. So, Christian, let's get you involved in this conversation real quick. So, what do we need to do? Talk to the kids today. What do we need to do? What do they need to do to keep that God space in their lives?
Praying and reading the Bible, because the Bible is giving you advice. And God was the one who put all... God was the one who talked to his disciples. Then his disciples wrote the books. Yes. He talked to the people. Then the people wrote the books. So God, that was God's advice. He's trying to help us through the Bible.
That's right.
Absolutely.
The Bible is important.
We have the very manual, the very principles, yes, of God and teachings of Christ that guide us. And so I like to say it like this. What you get out is what you put in. So whatever you put into your mind, whatever you put into your heart, whatever you put into your spirit, you're going to get out the same type of thing. So if you put the wrong things in, you get the wrong things out. Put the right things in, you're going to get a godly result. You're going to get amazing, successful, overcoming result if you put the right things in. So Christian, what type of things do we need to put in?
The Bible and prayer, because the Bible is also giving you advice how to cast out things.
Yeah. Yes. And that's been something very important for you, because sometimes you have bad dreams. And so we've been talking about that a lot, which is the Bible teaches us how to take authority over spiritual things that are going on that would cause us to have bad dreams.
Yes.
So when we start getting a relationship with the Word of God, then we understand how to cast those spirits out, and then we're able to have good dreams, right?
Yes, right.
That's great. Give him a big hand. You get whatever you put in. So you put in time with God, you get an enriched spiritual life. You put in time with your family, you get an enriched family. You put in time providing for your family, you're going to have the provisions that you need when you need them. But I think a lot of times as adults, as parents, we focus on the provision part.
Right.
Right? So we spend a lot of time I want to make sure that I can provide a good home, or provide a good living for my family. But we don't put in sometimes we skimp on putting that time in for God, or putting that quality time in with our family. And so it's important that we're intentional. We really have to fight to build these things in our life, to build this God space in our life. Isaiah 40:31 says, and think about this under the context of building God's space. It says, but those who trust in the Lord, okay, or those who make space for God in their lives, will find new strength.
Right.
They'll soar high on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and will not faint. God wants to give you the strength, but we have to invite him into our family by making space,
yes,
for him. We have to invite him into our life by having space, into our marriage, into our relationship, by having space, God's space, and so he can give us the new strength that we need,
right,
for this season. Now, with our kids, going back there for a second, we focus on feeding, on clothing them, on getting them the best education, but sometimes we're not focusing enough on their spiritual needs. What
right.
type of spiritual needs does a child have?
A lot, you know, and that's why they're, you know, the word is a child. Like, they need guidance, they need direction, they need impartation. And, you know, every parent, I'm sure, everybody wants to see your child successful. You want to see them, you know, succeed in life altogether. But I think it's important in our journey. Yes, we provide for all their natural things and we help them in the natural. But the number one thing that we always have to remember is our role as a spiritual parent. That is number one.
Yeah.
So manners are good. Learning how to be the best at whatever is good. You know, teaching them how to communicate is great. But number one thing, are you imparting into your child the things that God has is wanting to impart through you? It's so critical. You know, you see, we don't just want to raise good kids. We don't just want to raise people that can survive out there. We want to make sure that we are raising godly children, godly seed that can raise up and further God's kingdom. I've been so clear with our kids because I never want them to be misled. Before you are a Swilly, before you are, you know, a Latina or Latino, whatever, before you're anybody great, you are a child of God. And our number one mandate here is to further his kingdom. We're not furthering our name. We're not trying to get a big church. We're not trying to do this. We're trying to further God's kingdom. So make sure if you got little ones that you're instilling them with that mindset, because so many people fall astray because they begin to chase after things. It's like the kingdom first, and then everything else follows. So if you train them up to see through that lens, when they get into the world, then whatever they do, they will be in that line of thinking. I'm furthering God's kingdom, whether they're in the workplace, whether they're doing something else, whether they're in, you know, and I tell them, I was like, look, ministry looks many different ways. People put it in a box. Ministry is a pastor. Ministry is this. You know, full-time ministry is just you operating in what God has called you to do on this earth. So I think it's so important that we instill godly values in our children so that as they grow, they can be a carrier that, and they know who they are. They know what God thinks about them. They know when they face opposition that who the enemy is and who they are to that. I always tell Christian, you're a warrior. So no matter what the enemy comes at you, you got God on your side. You're bigger. You can defeat any demon, anything that comes at you. So I like, you know, take everything that you can from God's word and just push it in. You know, even moments where somebody's done something that's not been like excellent. Like if somebody's doing something like half-hearted, I'll tell them, I say, okay, what does the Bible say about whatever we do? Whatever you do, do it with all your might. Whatever we do with our hands, we need to put our best into it. You know, so it just goes back to teachable, making everything teachable moment.
With kids, they're always asking questions, big questions, small questions. It's our job. How does God fit into that small question? Yeah. How does God fit into it? How is he the solution for all these different areas? Because they have, if we focus in our family, how to fit God into even the smaller areas, how is he the solution in these areas? Then when they get older, they'll know how to plug him into all the different various scenarios that they go through in their life.
Right.
And so Proverbs 22:6 says, direct your children onto the right path. And when they're older, they won't leave it, so they'll understand how to apply God's word. They'll understand how to apply the principles of God, the promises of God, to all these little areas of their life if we begin to model that and show that while they're younger.
And I think also teaching them not to be dependent on you spiritually. Like, you're there as a guide, but I never force them to have an experience with God. I create an environment where they can
space.
I make space. I put worship music on. We have these prayers together, and I'll sometimes ask, hey, do you hear anything? And sometimes it's, no, I don't hear anything. And that's okay. You know, they're on their journey. I think a lot of people can push their kids away from things of the spirit if it's like, well, why aren't you hearing it? You know, or they try to be forceful. And so I think the spirit of God is always loving. It's always gentle, you know, and we have to create that room for them to feel like they can enter in and be themselves and experience God's love for themselves.
Well, God's kicked my butt before, so I know there's
well, yes, there's
God can kick
God
your butt.
God is also
sometimes
strong.
Yeah. but yeah, to create this godly environment in the home that allows them to the curiosity and the creativity to kind of grow in the things of God. So let's switch for a second and talk about what does a spouse need spiritually? Because I think we focus a lot of times on the natural part, you know, but the natural part can quickly break down if there's not a spiritual backing behind it. There's not a spiritual foundation behind it. You know, it's great in the natural to cater to each other, to emote, to keep the romance strong. These are all important things, but if we're not supporting each other spiritually, all those other things kind of fall apart eventually. So the spiritual side is the backbone of any marriage, any relationship, how you pray for each other, how you pray with each other. You know, the old saying is, a family that prays together stays together. A marriage that prays together stays together. So we have to take those times, take those moments, you know, make space in our relationship to have God, make that God space in our relationship and enrich our marriage.
I think you said prayer a couple of times, and that's so pivotal to the success of a marriage. And I think a lot of people don't do it. You know, they just kind of go on being a couple, you know, going through daily life, and they don't really take time to pray for their spouse. And I know there's been times that you've gone on prayer walks. They're very spiritual, but you're taking these prayer walks and he comes back in and he'll say, I was praying for you. And that was so meaningful to me because I know like that he's praying for me. Like that's something that's very important, you know?
Sometimes I'm out praying for her and God tells me to change. That's always a good one. I love that.
But,
I love that prayer.
But the funny
she
thing
loves
is,
those moments. Those
I
are the
do
best
love
moments.
Those. But praying for your spouse isn't always like you're praying for a problem. You know, you pray for your spouse in terms of covering, protection. You know, pray for God's purpose to be fulfilled in their life. And so I love those times. We pray separately. We pray together as a couple at times, and then we also pray as a family. But you know, I think that's so important not to overlook that, the power of prayer. And there's something, because we are spiritual beings, when we have those prayers, I was just reminded of this. When we would, like, go out on dates at first, we would be, like, in the middle of Starbucks. And it was, like, literally, this is so crazy. It felt like time would stand still. And I'm like, man, do you feel that? Like the presence of God would just fill the area that we were in. And it was a beautiful thing. But it's so important when you are in a marriage that you take time to pray and make space for God to be in the center. Because we make a vow. We made a vow before God. We made a vow, you know, to each other. And so part of that vow is to keep each other accountable, you know, encourage one another. I've told him, I said, look, if I ever start to seem like I'm going off track, please, you know, please tell me. And so we encourage one another when one of us is like needs that little extra, like, hey, you know, God has called you to do this, like, in, you know, as a spiritual backbone of a family, like you have to have a strong marriage. Yeah.
I found too, like it really does change the environment and creates a God space. Yeah. When we start talking about, sometimes it's scripture and verse. Sometimes it's a prayer, a traditional prayer. Other times it's just talking about the things of God. Yeah. When you begin to talk about the things of God, like, man, God did this, or I feel like God is doing that, you invite the presence of God and you begin to make a space for God in that conversation. So, you know, I know we've been talking a lot about couples, we've been talking a lot about family, but maybe you're single, and, you know, if you can have some people in your life, the Bible says iron sharpens iron,
right.
You know, it's important to have some people in your life that you begin to talk about the things of God. You know, sometimes you pray together, sometimes look at the Word of God, but other times you're just talking about the things of God, and that in itself brings the presence of God, attracts the presence of God when we start talking about the good things about God or what God's plans are for our life or, you know, something that God brought us through. It's amazing how that changes things. I like to apply this Ephesians 4, 2, and 3 to our marriage. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. I think that's so amazing. Make allowance. Realize that nobody's perfect, right? We're pressing to become more like Christ. All of us in the room, we're working to become more like Christ, but we have to make allowance for the fact that we're still working on that. We're getting there. And so we make allowance for that. We're humble. I don't think I know it all, you know. Don't think that you know it all. Be humble, be gentle, be patient, and bind yourself together with peace. Make every effort to keep yourself united in the Spirit, binding yourself together with peace. It's such a great foundation to have in your marriage. And Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 10, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Listen, If you're in a relationship, be there for each other. If you're in a marriage, be there for each other. If you're single, get somebody that will be an accountability partner for you. That can, if you fall by yourself, you're just going to be there on the ground. You're trying to make your way back. But if you got somebody that God has brought into your life, whether it be a marriage or whether it be somebody that a godly friend that's in your life that can help you and agree with you. The problem sometimes in our Christian walk is we're not being real. We're not being honest, and nobody knows your business. That's not good. You need someone to know your business so that you can be accountable, so you can pray on those things. The Word says to share those things, to share those things with one another, that iron sharpens iron, that confess your faults to one another. You know, that's where the real beautiful transformation spiritually happens. I don't try to hide my weak areas from my wife. I say, hey, listen, will you pray with me in this area that I'm weak at? When you don't have somebody in your life to be accountable to and can call you on the carpet, you've given permission to say, hey, listen, if I'm off, call me on the carpet. You know, if I'm getting out of bounds here, let me know. That's so important. Two people are better off than one.
And isolation is never good. The enemy works his way in isolation. So it's important to have that accountability.
You don't need to be perfect. You need to get better.
Exactly. That, so good.
That's the problem. Too many people are trying to look perfect, but what they should be doing is trying to get better. And with our marriage, with our relationships, that's the goal.
And whenever you're working something through, even in your marriage, never speak to it. Speak about it with somebody else that's not your spouse, or somebody that can actually help you both, because that's a dangerous place. You know, that's how emotional affairs and other things happen. So it's important to, you know, you cover each other. You don't go outside of that. That would be breaking a covenant, an important thing. So
if you need help in your marriage, go as a couple to someone that you spiritually trust as a couple. You know, I think a lot of times people develop these bad habits when they're single, that they go and they talk about their relationship with other people. But
best friends, or whatever.
Yeah, when your spouse
is your best friend.
No, yeah.
When you get married.
Amen.
Number one.
When you are engaged to be married, or you're married, you go as a couple. You go as a couple and you cover each other. Agreement. Sometimes in the home, you're going to agree. Other times you're going to disagree.
Right.
It's okay for your kids. It's all right for the other, for your family to see you disagree, because you have to model godly conflict resolution.
Exactly.
If we try to sweep things under the rug or try to pretend like everything is perfect, you're not going to teach them godly conflict resolution. They're not going to know how to work things out among each other. If he sees things one way and she sees things another, and when they get older and they have a relationship, they're not going to know how to work things out if they don't see respectful, you know, conflict resolution that's done with grace and done with peace.
There's been times where we've had to sidebar something.
Sure.
And we know it's kind of getting intense fellowship. And we'll save that, you know, for us to work out. But there's been other times that we know, you know, you can discern by the Holy Spirit when things get a little bit tense, and they see it, and they also see us come to a peaceable solution. And so I think that's so important, because we live in a world where people aren't emoting in healthy ways. They're not communicating in healthy ways. It's either stuff or explode, you know. So it's important. Talk things through. Have communication. You know, and I know we can't control what others do. Not every family, everybody works together to come to the same conclusion. But at the end of the day, I view it like this for me. As for me and who I am and who God has called me to be, I need to do this. I need to do this because God has said it, that I need to be this way. I need to be kind. I need to work on communicating in a good way. You know, and so we teach the kids the same way. But communication is very key.
I've seen the Holy Spirit. He always opens up doors for us to create space in our life for him. but it's our job to walk through those doors.
Right.
He gives us opportunities to build a beautiful space in our family, in our lives, but it's our job to capitalize on those moments. There's a life event here. There's a life challenge here that we're going through. Talk about it. Involve God in it. Make space for God even in your problems. You know, say, God, I need you to show up. I'm building some room, some space for you to get involved. Involve your kids in that. You know, we go through stuff as adults. It's okay for them to understand the journey that God is taking you through. Even if you have to dumb it down a little bit, take some of the details that are over their head out, but to allow them to see the spiritual journey that you're on and how God is the solution to your problems, that's so important. How are they going to know that God is the solution to all these things? So it's important. How is God playing a role in helping bring a solution to your problems, to your challenge as an adult, to your family's challenges and hurdles that you have, and all the way down to small things? You know, Christian, a few nights ago, had a bad dream. So he said it was a nightmare. Okay. It was spiritual warfare. That's right. What he said.
See, he recognized it. So
we not only came and prayed together about it. He came down. We prayed together. But I also, I use it as a teachable moment. This is what the Word of God says. This is how you overcome that. This is how you take authority in those situations. And the next time, he was stronger. Next time, he was better. You know, when we see that there's family drama, you know, when we see there's drama in a relationship, don't just sweep that under the rug. Talk about that stuff with your kids.
Yes.
This is what the fruit of the Spirit that should have been shown in that situation. It's okay. It's okay. I still love so-and-so. It's just God's working on them in that area. That, you know, these are the fruits of the Spirit that should, this is how this situation should have played out. So it's important to show how God fits in the big ways and in the small ways in our families.
I was remembering being, and I know we've been talking about a lot of things that involve small kids, but, you know, I just want to say, I know that teenagers can be a whole nother level, a whole different ball game, you know, than small children. I was remembering being when I was a teen and having a lot of questions. And one of the things I so appreciate is my parents took time to talk. I mean, they'd talk a lot. They talked me through things and they would ask the right questions, you know, and they would say the right things at the right moment. And I know it's because they were listening to the Spirit. But one of the things I remember that they would do is they would ask me about my friends. They would ask me what I was going to do. And I, like, sometimes the question would be about somebody, you know, like, who is your new friend? And, you know, do you know anything about them? And what do they do? And this and that. And then this, it never failed. The question would always come up, what do you think their intentions are? And I'd sit there and I'd be like, yeah, probably not good. And then because of those promptings, it would lead me to make better decisions, you know? But the thing that I appreciate so much is it was always a civil discussion. It wasn't that they came at me, you know, like judging or just ready to just, you know, school me. It was training me to think, you know, in a way that was God-centered and to live by godly examples. And of course, they taught me to respect them in return. But it was that whole civil conversation that when somebody feels heard. And so I think we need more of that today, you know, and where everybody's like yelling and everybody's being so pointed at each other. Let's be the light of communication in the sense that we lead with love. Like Jesus led with love and truth. Like when he spoke, it was just truth. So you couldn't really turn away from it. But another moment that I remembered, and this was when I was a kid, that always stuck with me. When I was a little girl and I was in school, there was a girl, and she would, it was rough. She just would use her words in a very mean way towards me, and it was a very rough time in those years. And I'd come home and I'd complain about it. And my mom, I saw her go through the emotions of like, man, I just want to go take this girl on the side and let her know, you know. But, you know, thank God she didn't do that, you know. But I could see that she would pray. My dad, you know, and her would talk me through it. And one of the things that was said that I'll never forget was, we're just going to call her Sally. He said, you know, there's always a Sally around, but you got to know how to grow and be around a Sally and not be fazed by it, you know? And so, like, he said it in his own words, but that's what I remember. And it's true, man. Being an adult and working with
other adults. There's always a Sally.
Like, I remember, like, us having to serve under a person in a
Sally.
It was a Sally. It was a he Sally. No, it was this particular guy, and he was just very difficult to work with. And us, out of obedience, like, we were just like, okay, we were married at that point. And it wasn't a bishop, okay? Nobody, like, start putting dots and stuff together. No. And I remember I was just like, man, Lord, help deliver us from this person. This is rough. But it reminded me of that. And I was like, you know what? You know, we're in this position. God has equipped us to do this. And he really gave us the grace to go through that. But you never know the things that you're saying. When you're saying it through the Spirit, what sticks, what kind of catches, and that your child remembers. Because when you impart the word, when you're led by God, when they get older, it really makes a difference in life decisions. And so I just want to encourage you as well, if you have prodigals in your life, that you have been waiting and you're saying, man, you know, my kids are all grown up and I haven't been able to really implement all this, or I thought I did and I did my best. Be encouraged in this. The prayers of the righteous availeth much. God hears your prayers. God hears your prayers. Don't stop praying for that prodigal, because in time you will see God's hand. Like, I've just been hearing all morning, stand still and see the glory of God. That if that word is for you, grab it and run with it today. Stand still and see the glory of God. Take his word and continue to apply it. Pray the word of the Lord over that son, that daughter, or whoever it is in your family, a parent that you've been praying for their salvation, and just stand still and see his glory.
Amen. It's so important, you know, just like we, with our finances, we give a tithe. We have to make sure that we are giving a tithe of at least a tithe of our time, you know. In Genesis 2:2, on the seventh day, God said, I'm going to rest. And he did it because he's modeling for us rest. You need to rest. You need to have space in your life that you honor God. And you have a place for God and a place for rest. And it enriches your life. And it's not just Sunday morning. You know, Sunday morning is awesome, but that's a launching pad for the rest of your week. You know, that should be something that energizes you and gives you strength and challenges you to go further in your faith.
And I think it's important, too, to not... What are you prioritizing? Are you prioritizing that God space? And are you prioritizing a community of faith? Because whatever that, you know, the enemy has been working hard to break people from the community of faith. And it's something that the upcoming generation needs to know. It is absolutely a priority. The Bible tells us that it's important for us to be in community. Forsake not the assembly. I know things have changed and a lot of stuff is like virtual now, but the point is you have to be connected to a community. So whatever way that looks like, you know, we need to prioritize in our homes. We got to stay connected with each other. The body of Christ is not different parts to be separated. We're different parts to make up a body. We encourage one another. We remind each other of what God is doing. We experience God's move and God's amazing hand when we're come together as well. So, you know, what are the question that I think we have to walk away is, what are we prioritizing today in general? You know, do we talk about the news more than we talk about what God is doing at home at the dinner table? Do we talk about whatever happened at work more than we do about what God is doing in our lives? It's important that we prioritize the right things.
Amen. One thing I like to do with our kids that creates God's space is I just give them random pop quiz. Like I'll say, you know, this week, is there something that you're hearing God say to you or you're sensing that God is saying to you? So, Esperanza, I'm going to throw this at you. Are you sensing this week that anything that God is saying to you?
Well, I haven't heard anything this week, but I think it's because I thought I was too busy and the devil was trying to tell me I'm too busy, but I wasn't. So whenever the devil lies to you and tells you you're too busy, you always have to remember and recognize that it's him telling you.
You know, when sometimes when you ask your kids, they're not always going to have, you know, oh, yeah, I heard this. Sometimes we have some amazing moments. You wouldn't even believe, you know, Christian hears something, Esperanza hears something. That's just a lot of things going around. But then sometimes it might not be. But just creating that space, even if the answer is no, you stir up the curiosity for what if God did say something, or should I be hearing something this week? And so you create this space for God to do something and build this spiritual curiosity. It's about cultivating that God space in your family, in your marriage, with you as an individual, with your kids. And so I want to close with a word of prayer. So, Pastor Corinne, why don't you do that for us?
Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity to enter into your presence together as your children, God, as one. And Lord, we come humbly before you, asking you, God, to do a work in our families, do a work in us, God, where we need it, Lord. We give you full reign, Holy Spirit, to do what you need to do in us, God. We ask that you would quicken us, speak to us, Lord. Your servants are listening. We want to hear what it is that you want us to do, God, what we need to change and adjust, God. Remind us when we get too busy. Remind us, Lord, when we begin to be just distracted by other things and life. And God, we just invite you, Lord, to remind us when we need to take time, God. I pray that you would just give a fresh strength to parents that are here today, God, that you would give them wisdom, that you would give them discernment, Lord, and just the words to speak, God, to speak truth, to speak love, and to really create a loving environment, God, for children to thrive in. Lord, I pray for the children, God, that you would draw them closer to you. Let them experience your love. Let them know that they are loved beyond even what they can comprehend, Father. I thank you, God, for surrounding them and having those moments with them, God, that mark their lives to know that they are chosen and set apart by you. God, I pray for those, Lord, the marriages, God, that you would strengthen them, Lord, that our marriages would be strong, that they would be God-centered, Lord, that we would be selfless in our dealings with one another, that we would truly exemplify love, God. And I just thank you, Lord, for just those that might be waiting for a prodigal to come back home. Lord, we speak today to those prodigals and we say, come home. God, I thank you, Lord. You are a father that is ready with arms wide open. And so today, God, we position ourselves like that. And we just say our arms are wide open. We call back the prodigals. I thank you, Lord, for your purpose. We declare your purpose to be fulfilled in their lives, God, that their destiny would not be left to the side, God, but that they would walk in who you've called them to be. God, I just thank you also for those that might be praying for salvation for somebody in their family, God, or somebody that's been difficult. Lord, I pray for patience. I pray for your supernatural love to be within us, Lord, that we can see, we can go through the distance, Father. We can patiently wait on you and what you're doing and the work that you're doing. And God, we just thank you, Father, for salvation, God. And we just give you thanks for this opportunity today, God, that you're speaking words to us, Lord. We give you honor for it, and we just seal this word in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Can you give Esperanza and Christian a big hand for being up here with us? Great job. I want to encourage you, build space for God in your life, in your marriage, in your family.